तेरा माधव कुंज विहारी गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरवन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरवन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे हरे
परमहंस परिव्राजक आचार्य अष्टोत्तर चतुर्थी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। इस्कॉन बीबीटी फाउंडर आचार्य शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजक आचार्य अष्टोत्तर चतुर्थी भक्ति सिद्धांत गोस्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य शील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौड़ भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीना चाम कुंड राधा कुंड गिर और धन की जय। वृंदावन मथुरा धाम की जय। नवदीप मायापुर धाम की जय। पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। गंगा मैया की जय। यमुना मैया की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसी देवी की जय। सामवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय। शिल प्रभुपाद ट्रांसेंडेंटल बुक डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन की जय। गौड प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंगा। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Krishna. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 13, 59th verse, penultimate verse. Please repeat after me, word by word. Viduraha, Vidura also, tu,
hat, but, not hat, but, tat, that incident, ascharyam, wonderful, nishamya, seeing, Kuru Nandana, O son of Kuru dynasty, harsha, shoka, yataha, tasmat, ganta, tirtha, nishevakaha, for being enlivened. Vidarastu tadascharyam nishamya kuru nandana harsha shoka yutas tasmat ganta tirtha nivekaka vidurastu tadascharyam nishamya kuru nandana harsha shokayutastasmat ganta tirtha nishevakaha vidurastu tadascharyam nishamya kuru nandana harsha shokayutastasmat ganta tirtha nishevakaha Vidurastu tadascharyam nishamya kuru nandana harsha shokayutastasmat ganta tirtha nishevakaha vidurastu tadascharyam nishamya kuru nandana Mataji. Vidurastu tadascharyam nishamya kuru nandana harsha shokayutastasmat ganta tirtha nishevakaha
Translation, we have already read word by word. So Vidura, being affected with delight and grief, will then leave that place of sacred pilgrimage. Purport by His Divine Grace, Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Purport. Vidura was astonished to see the marvelous departure of his brother Dhritarashtra as a liberated yogi. For in his past life, he was much attached to materialism. Of course, it was only due to Vidura that his brother attained the desirable goal of life. Vidura was therefore glad to learn about it, but he was sorry that he could not make his brother turn into a pure devotee. This was not done by Vidura because of Dhritarashtra's being inimical to Pandavas, who were all devotees of the Lord. An offense at the lotus feet of Vaishnavas is more dangerous than an offense at the lotus feet of Lord. I repeat, an offense at the feet of Vaishnavas is more dangerous than an offense at the lotus feet of the Lord. Vidura was certainly very liberal to bestow mercy upon his brother Dhritarashtra, whose past life was very materialistic. But ultimately, the result of such mercy certainly depended on the will of the Supreme Lord in his present life. Therefore, Dhritarashtra attained liberation only, and
after many such liberated states of life, one can attain to the stage of devotional service. Vidura was certainly very mortified by the death of his brother and sister-in-law, and the only remedy to mitigate such lamentation was to go out to pilgrimage. Thus, Maharaj Yudhishthir had no chance to call back Vidura, his surviving uncle.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Shakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vrasya Krupa Sindhu Vyayevacha Aham Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gauravakta Vrunda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Welcome to all of you on this very auspicious Kartik month. We have just sung the glorification of Radha Damodar. So I seek the blessings of Srila Prabhupada, Gurudev and other devotees sitting here in the assembly hall, the temple hall, and also those who are online to speak on this very esoteric subject. I am very grateful to Baldev Prabhu and Rudranath Prabhu for giving me yet another opportunity to glorify Mahatma Vidur, who is my hero in one sense. There are many heroes in Srimad Bhagavatam, but Vidura is certainly one of them, occupies prime position. So the title Srila Prabhupada has given to this chapter is Dhritarashtra Quits Home, is quitting home. A very unique title. So, what is a home? Home is not a house. Huh? Home is a house, but at the same time, it's a safe haven, shelter, a comfort zone for living entities. So, all living entities require the shelter of a home. Not only we human beings, two-legged animals, but also other animals, birds, insects, everyone. So we find that everyone builds homes. So I every day I go for a morning walk and I see a huge attractive hoarding which says your dream home is just a step away. So, and when I got this particular assignment, I was thinking, what indeed is a home? Everybody builds homes, isn't it? Birds make nests, rabbits dig burrows, mouse digs holes, spiders spin cobwebs, then honeybees make hives, and so on. Practically every living entity builds a home. But what indeed is a home? Home is not just a structure made out of cement, mortar, and all decorations. It is more than that. There is a sense of attachment, there is a sense of emotion when we talk about home. There can be many houses. My father had a government job and he used to tour from one place to other, and I have lived in many, many houses. But my real home is Radha Gopinath Mandir. I am here. This is my real home. So there can be many homes. And the concept about home is can be different for different people. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, in his book, Autobiography, Journey Home, he says that India is my home. India, the country, is my home. So it can be a homeland. So different concepts can be there about what constitutes a home. So here we are talking of, you know, Dhritarashtra quitting home, and we find that it is Vidura who is actually a witness to Dhritarashtra quitting home. So he is quitting home. I read the purport. I read. Okay. So Dhritarashtra is quitting home. Actually, he is quitting not home. He is also quitting his body. Just as we have homes to live in, similarly the jivatma, the spirit soul, also has a home, and our body constitutes the home of for the spirit soul. So we, though it's not as if, you know, the jivatma permanently resides in the body. It vacates when it wants to. When the time comes, it vacates. So it's not it's kind of a leave license agreement. You stay for a particular period of time in the human body, and when the right time comes, you just vacate the body. That is the destiny of every living entity. And one who really wants to get out of the cycle of this birth and death, he has to take shelter of the Supreme Lord Krishna. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. So that is the only method of doing it. So for a jivatma, spirit home, as I mentioned, human body is a home until it becomes old and jarjar. Every body becomes old. Dehinosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yavanam jara tatha dehantara prapti dihastatranam uyati. Everybody, dehin is the spirit soul. At one stage in time, the body becomes very old, jarjar. So that stage, you know, there is nothing that you can do about it. You can't prevent it. You can go to doctor to becoming young again, but its effort is futile. We remain old at all times. Okay, so there is a beautiful Shankaracharya Pad cites a very beautiful verse. He says that we pass through different stages, you know, of childhood, then youth, and then, you know, middle age, then old age, and finally death. Okay, so Shankaracharya says, Balastavastilasakta, Tarunastavastaruni sakta, Vruddhastavat chinta magna, pare parame brahmani kopina lagna. So we are, you know, in childhood we are attached to playing games. Balastavas krida sakta, Tarunastavas taruni sakta. When you are young, you interact with girls. But then Vruddhastavas chinta sakta. When we become old, we become worried. The old people tend to get worried on very little small things. Just like just now some time ago, I was very worried whether today I will be able to offer the lamb, because I did not know what the system was. But I was helped, so I did offer the lamb. So chinta can easily overwhelm an old man. All kinds of things, worries come to an old person. So that is there. And eventually old age is full of worries and tensions. But there is hardly anyone, Shankaracharya says, that who wants to be attached to Parabrahmani. Nobody wants to be attached to the Supreme Lord. Everybody is attached to other things in life, but no one is attached to the Supreme Lord. So in another verse, very beautiful verse, it is said by Shankaracharya, Yavat pavano nimasati dehe, tavat pruchati kushalam gehe, गतवती वायो देह अपाये भार्या बिभ्यति तस्मिन काये. वेरी ब्यूटिफुल वर्स, आई लाइक इट वेरी मच. इट सेज एज लॉन्ग एज देर इज लाइफ फोर्स इन अ लिविंग एंटिटी इन ए बॉडी पीपल टेंड टू आस्क यू हाउ आर यू, हाउ इज एवरीथिंग गोइंग ऑन, यू नो. सब कुशल है घर में, एवरीथिंग, ऑल दीज क्वेश्चन आर आस्क्ड. As long as there is life force in our body, the moment the life force departs, what happens? Bharya bibhati tasmin kaye. Even the wife, you know, is afraid of that body. So this is a stark reality of life. And though it is a stark reality, none of us, you know, take note of this reality. We are not cognizant of it. And we go through life just randomly, you know. Unless we are fortunate to come in touch with the devotees, come in touch with a spiritual master who tells you this is the direction you have to take. Otherwise, we go through life. So, it's a fearful. So, one who is Krishna conscious, one who is God conscious, such a girl will not be bharya bibhyati tasmin kaye. That will not happen in such a case. But a devotee will be not be fearful. What will the devotee be when the husband passes or a wife passes away? What will be the attitude? That person will be prayerful, not fearful. Prayerful, and in that prayer, what will the prayer be? She or he will ask for shelter for the departed soul at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So that is the difference between a devotee and others who just go through the process of living bodies. This is very important. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, there is a very beautiful verse. It says, Chidyamanam yamai etai krutanidam vanaspatim kagaha svaketam utsrujya kemam yati hi alampataha. So very nice verse. It says that without attachment, a bird gives up Utsrujya, gives up the tree. Vanaspati means tree. A bird, just as we read, a bird constructs a nest in a tree. And it is not that it is a permanent residence for, because the tree can be, you know, cut down by anybody. And as soon as the tree is cut down, the nest also falls down. The house, everything is lost. But the bird is very intelligent. It knows that this is going to happen one day. And so what does the nest do? It builds another nest. Builds another nest. Standby nest. Where it can go. It can revert and be happy. So this is the teaching of Srimad Bhagavatam. That while you are living in the nest of this material world. We are all having, our homes are just like nests. We live in this. We don't have to be complacent and think that this is going to be my eternal home. I never will have to quit. Similarly, we don't have to think that this my body is eternal. We have to quit it. So we have to understand this. This consciousness has got to be developed. And for that purpose, we have to understand that the human form of life is very, very impermanent. But the spirit soul is permanent and it can always take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the important lesson that we have to learn. So, the bird builds up another nest. Kruta nidam, vanaspati means a tree. So, khagaha, svaketam utsrujya. He gives up very easily, is able to relinquish. Knowing that there is a house where I can go to. Similarly, if we, develop our spiritual life to such an extent that we also know that after we depart, we have a home to go to. That will give us a lot of solace. It will give us a lot of comfort. We will be very, very comfortable and we will live through our life very nicely and very comfortably without any tension. Extremely important concept. So while we are in the material world, it is not that we just have to enjoy. We have to prepare ourselves for a life beyond our depth. And that is very beautifully told to us in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita tells us in a very nice verse how a living entity should prepare for exist to the spiritual world. So an intelligent devotee knows that each passing day and each passing night is actually taking us closer to death. Suryodaya and Suryasta, which we see every day, means that, you know, we are one day closer to our final death. So this is inevitable for everyone. Nobody can avoid it. Whether you know it or not, it is going to happen. So why not we take shelter of a spiritual master and a movement in which we can, you know, really go beyond this. So that, why don't we do it? So an intelligent devotee knows that the passing days and nights are exhausting the duration of life, and he therefore gives up his futile attachment to material sense objects. Instead, he strives to achieve permanent benefit in life. Just as the detached bird immediately gives up its nest and goes to another tree, similarly, a devotee knows that there is no permanent opportunity for resident within the material world. Instead, he dedicates his working energy to achieving eternal residence in the kingdom of God, Krishna, and attains perfect position. So while being a tenant in this God-given body, we are all tenants in the God-given body. So while being a tenant here, we have to follow in the footsteps of the bird. We have to follow in the footsteps of Mahatmas who have told us how to live our lives. Giving up, we can be happy. It's not that you should be morose. We should be happy. We should lead a happy life. But we should also simultaneously be aware that there is a life beyond which we have to go to later on. So following the footsteps of the bird and Mahatma, we have to aspire for building another nest in the spiritual world to go back home, back to Godhead. Supreme nest, that is supreme nest, that is supreme dham. Srila Prabhupada came out with a magazine called Back to Godhead. This was the intention. He wanted to make people aware that there is back to God. We have to go back to Godhead. So that is the purpose of his starting the magazine, Back to Godhead. I hope many of you have at least browsed through it, read it. It's a wonderful magazine. So Srimad Bhagavatam highlights this principle of going back home, back to Godhead in a very wonderful verse. Na tad bhasayate suryo, na shashanko na pavakah, yad gatva na nivartante, tad dhamam paramam mama. Very beautiful verse in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. It says, na tad bhasayate suryo. He says that the verse says that there is a spiritual world where no sun is needed for illuminating. Na tad bhasayate suryo. Na shashanko, no moon is needed. Na pavaka, no fire is required. We associate all these with light and heat. None of these are there in the spiritual. Na tad bhasayate suryo, na shashanko, na pavaka, yad gatva na nivartante, tad dhamam paramam mama. So that particular place is my eternal shelter. That's what Bhagavad Gita tells us. And that is the nest, that is the shelter to which we have to go. So we have to follow in the footsteps of the bird. Okay? Prabhupada writes a very beautiful purport to this verse. All of you can go through the purport 15.6. I want to read verbatim what Prabhupada says. For one who is much attached to material world, it is very difficult to cut down that attachment. But if he takes to Krishna consciousness, there is a chance of gradually becoming detached. One has to associate himself with devotees, those who are in the Krishna consciousness movement. One should search out a society dedicated to Krishna consciousness and learn how to discharge devotional service in this way, to cut off his attachments for material things. So all of us, we are sitting in this hall. So all of us, we don't have to search. Prabhupada has recommended, the search is already over. All of us are in Krishna consciousness. So, but Prabhupada recommends it to everyone else who is not in the know of it. He's saying that you have to search out for a moment where this can be accomplished. Going back home, back to Godhead can be accomplished. It is not something, it's just not a statement you make and, you know, then find it very tough to implement. For that, you need the help of a organization like International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON. You need the guidance and support so that we can go back home, back to Godhead. What is the concept of home for Radhanath Maharaj is described beautifully in his book called Journey Home. For him, India was his home. So I come to that in the fag end of the lecture. Again, go to that. So that's very, very important for me. So one should search out for a society dedicated to Krishna consciousness and learn how to discharge devotional service. In this way, we can cut off the attachment. So Dhritarashtra, by his nature, he was Bhogeshwarya Prasakta. Bhogeshwarya Prasaktanam Taya Aparuta Chetasa. One, when you become attached to material things, worldly things, you tend to dissociate yourself from anything spiritual. You become so much overwhelmed by attachment to material things that you do not think of God. If you call, if you meet some people and you tell them, please chant the holy name of the Lord, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. He says, sorry, I have no time and I have so many things to do. You know, I am in management, you know, middle management. Now I have to reach the top of the ladder. I have no time. Where is the time to chant? So he doesn't pursue what is the most important thing in life. Now this is not to decry that one should, you know, one should not endeavor to rise high in management. Everybody should rise high. Wish everyone the best of luck. Everybody should work very hard, but never lose sight of the goal. What is the ultimate goal? That is very, very important. Extremely important. Dhritarashtra was a Bhogeshwar Prasakta who was blind physically and was blind spiritually also. But Dhritarashtra was one such personality who was counseled by none other than Ved Vyas himself, Granthavatar Ved Vyas himself. He was counseled by Lord Krishna. He was counseled by his very, very pativrata, virtuous wife Gandhari. He was counseled by Vidura, about whom we will be talking presently. So he was counseled by so many people, but apparently he agreed with everyone, but did precisely what he wanted. And that was what? Being attached to his son Duryodhan. Such was his attachment to Duryodhan that whatever Duryodhan wanted, Dhritarashtra did, while nodding his head to Vedvyas, nodding his head to Krishna, nodding his head to everyone. He did precisely that. This is the result of attachment to an individual. When we become attached, then we lose our sense of logic, sense of bearing, and therefore this was the fate of Dhritarashtra. Such a strong attachment he had. Now, Dhritarashtra was exceptionally fortunate. Though he had such strong attachment, he was exceptionally fortunate. What was his greatest fortune? His greatest fortune was that he had a younger brother like Mahatma Vidur. It was his greatest fortune. It is not that Vidura, you know, could control him all the time. He could not. But when the time came, Vidur was the one who helped him. So we'll talk about it later. So it is described that among the knowers and practitioners of Bhagavad Dharma, Mahatma Vidur, his position is supreme. He stands supreme, knower. He was a dear devotee of Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. And it is described that he was Sakshat Yama Dharmaraj himself, who had incarnated as Vidur. His dharmacharya, his sadachar parayanata, his dharmaniti matta were simply great. He was exceptionally brilliant and his wisdom and yogic power was simply great. There is a verse which Vedvyas cites, his father cites. He says, Brahaspati va deveshu, shukro va api asureshu, na tatha buddhi sampanna yatha sa purushottama. Says that among the demigods, among the asuras, among the demigods, the most brilliant personality is Brihaspati. When we come across a very intelligent boy, you know, he has got the intelligence of Brihaspati. Or we don't talk about Shukracharya, but Shukracharya was also on par as far as his intelligence was concerned. But here the verse says, Vedvyas himself certifies that no, Vidura had such intelligence that nobody could match, not even, you know, Brihaspati, not even Shukracharya. That was the level of his intelligence. So, how come the Yama Dharma Raj, you know, who actually decides our destiny, he is the presiding deity who decides what will happen to us after death. He is the one, Yama Dharma Raj, he is the one who is the deciding authority. So, how come Yama Dharma Raj became Vidura? Was born, he became a Dasi Putra? How did it happen? This is described by none other than Srila Prabhupada himself in the very first purport to the first verse of this chapter. So I'll repeat some of, because repeating Prabhupada's words makes me very, very comfortable. I don't have to use my stupid brain to say things. So he says that, Vidura was one of the prominent figures in the history of Mahabharata. Prominent figure in the Mahabharata is strewn with so many characters. He was most prominent in the, one of the prominent people. Not the prominent, the one of the prominent people. He was conceived by Vyasadeva in the womb of maid servant of Ambika, mother of Maharaj Pandu. Being cursed by Manduka Muni, he was to become a Shudra. Why was he cursed? Prabhupada writes. Prabhupada describes, once upon a time, the state police caught some thieves who had concealed themselves in the hermitage of Manduka Muni. Prabhupada writes further, the palace, the police, king's soldiers, as usual he says, arrested all the thieves and Manduka Muni was among them. Now, Manduka Muni was sitting in his ashram and doing, you know, his japa or whatever, aradhana. And there, the thieves concealed, you know, the stolen property. And in that place, the police or whatever, the soldiers of the king, they raided the place and they arrested everyone who was sitting there. That included Manduka Muni, who had nothing to do with the robbery, who was a great soul. No, so, they arrested him also. Prabhupada writes, the police, king soldiers, as usual, arrested all the thieves and Manduka Muni along with them. The punishment was to pierce Muni to death by being pierced with a lance. And to cut a long story short, that Manduka Muni, who was put on that lance, you know, that sharp object, all other thieves who were punished with him, they all died. But Manduka Muni, because of his tapobal, did not die. He was chanting. He was doing his aradhana while being pierced by a lance. He's sitting there and by tapobal he's still, you know, doing his aradhana. That was Manduka Muni. So great was he. So the king of the place, you know, Prabhupada writes, he came to know that his soldiers had done a stupid thing and they had, you know, arrested the Rishi, a great seer, as if he was a thief. And the punishment was there. But he had not done any crime. So the king came running virtually. He was afraid of, you know, curse of the Muni. But Manduka Muni was very tolerant toward the king. He had no grouse against the king. Against whom did he have grouse? He had grouse against, you know, Yamadharma Raj. So he said he straight away by his yogic power went to Yamadharma Raj's abode. He went there and accosted him. He said that, why am I being punished? Why was I punished like this? What was my offense? So, Yamadharmaraj was little shaken by this direct assault. So, Yamadharmaraj, apologetically he mentioned that when you were a small boy, you know, you had pierced an ant with a sharp straw. That is why you've been given this punishment. Now, children sometimes can be very cruel. But so anyway, this cruelty was done. So that is why this you have been punished like this. The Muni got very, very angry. He said that a young boy doesn't have maturity of intelligence to know what is right and what is wrong. And what was done, you know, in innocence of childhood, for that you have given such a curse. So he got very annoyed. So I curse you. That you have shown the, you are Yamadharmaraj. Yamadharmaraj is one of the 12 Mahajans, by the way. One of the Mahajans. So though you are Yamadharmaraj, you have shown the intelligence or lack of intelligence of a Shudra. So you be born as Shudra. So I curse you. Yamadharmaraj accepted that curse. He thought that he has got a sabbatical, you know. Give up his normal duty of punishment and all that. And come back to the material world. Enjoy his sabbatical leave and then go back when it is over. Anyway, whatever. So he accepted the punishment. And he was born as one of the sons. One of the sons of actually Vedvyas, basically. So Vedvyas had 3 sons. First one was Dhritarashtra, blind from birth. Then the second one was Pandu, who also had some problem with his health. His body was always pale. And then the third one was Vidura, who was born to a Shudrani, Dasi of Pandu. So these were the 3 sons. So of the 3 sons, you can see that Pandu, understanding that Dhritarashtra is blind, Pandu was asked to, you know, become the king of Hastinapur, which he did for some time. But then he committed an offense against some rishi and he had to vacate his post and he went to the forest. That is where all the Pandavas were born, incidentally, in the forest. Not out of Pandu, but out of the Kunti's, you know, prayers, Kunti's benedictions. So that is how the Pandu had to vacate his boat. So now, because Vidura was a Dasi Putra, though most competent person, he had all the intelligence to run the kingdom, he had to leave. He had to forego being the emperor of Hastinapur. And who became emperor of Hastinapur? Dhritarashtra. So Dhritarashtra became the emperor of Hastinapur. And Dhritarashtra needed eternally help from Vidura. Vidura was de facto emperor. He was the one who is to guide and run the affairs of the country, but without not being recognized. But Vidura did not mind. He was a devotee of the Lord, very, very humble to the core of his being. So he managed very beautifully. He managed beautifully the affairs of the state, and everything went off very nicely. So there were Kauravas and there were Pandavas. Sons of Pandu were called Pandavas and sons of Dhritarashtra were called Kauravas. So as far as Vidura is concerned, he was fair to both because he was uncle to both. So he was fair to both. He never discriminated. But Duryodhan was viciously envious of the Pandavas. Why? Not because they had done any harm, because they were so virtuous. They had such sterling qualities that because of that, Duryodhan was eternally envious of the Pandavas. And Duryodhana was particularly antagonistic towards Bhimsen, who was so strong. His strength was phenomenal and he was also a Gada Yuddha fighter. So he was antagonistic towards him. So, with the connivance of Shakuni, who was the brother of Gandhari, we won't go into all the details of Mahabharata, I don't want to take your time in that, but Shakuni perpetrated many evils against the Pandavas, and Duryodhan and Dhritarashtra was tacitly approving everything that was happening. Outwardly, he was showing all kinds of affection for his brother's sons, Pandus, but inside, he sided with, you know, Duryodhan and allowed all atrocities to take place. Thus was Bhima poisoned when he was just a boy. Bhima came out of it stronger. Then there was that vicious plan to burn all the Pandavas and Kunti Maharani as well in Lakshagraha. That vicious plan. So in all these evil plans, it was not Vidura was a party to it. But most of the time he would play a role whereby he could be helpful to the Pandavas. So when this Varnavart incident was taking place, that it was Vidura who in a very secret language communicated to Yudhishthir that, you know, you go to that place, there you will be taken care of very nicely, but one day you all will be burned to death. So he communicated to them there is this danger. And so Yudhishthir Maharaj he created an outlet for himself in advance. So when actually the Lakshagraha was burnt, was put on fire, all the Pandavas could escape along with Kunti Devi very nicely. So this is how Yudhishthira played a very constructive role. And though he could not prevent Duryodhan from committing atrocities, he was able to help the Pandavas from time to time. That was his contribution. So, when Pandavas, rather Arjuna, won the hand of Draupadi, we won't go into the details of that pastime, won the hand of Draupadi, naturally, one of the contestants was also Duryodhan, but he became even more envious, more and more envious. All the achievements of Pandavas always hurt him, no end. He would always be disturbed. That's right. So Dhritarashtra had perforce to admit, he had to admit that Yudhishthir Maharaj was an elder. He was born earlier than Duryodhan. And he also had wonderful qualities. And he was a fit to be the emperor of Hastinapur. That he recognized. So when the time came, it was time to, you know, divide the kingdom. Vidura, Bhishmadev and Dronacharya, all the elders advised Dhritarashtra that you give half the kingdom to Yudhishthira. In any case, he deserves to be the emperor of entire Hastinapur, but the least you can do is at least give half the kingdom. Half the kingdom you give to him. That way, you know, some modicum of justice will be done. So you give it. That is how they said. So, Dhritarashtra was reluctant. But when such advice came from elders like Bhishmadev and others, he had to accept. He said, okay, I agree to give half the kingdom to Yudhishthir. And very generously, he gave the desert land, you know, of Khandava Prastha as half the kingdom. Nothing, it was a Shapit Bhumi. Nothing could grow there. Nothing. There's no question of any prosperity. He said, that you take. I'm giving you half the kingdom. You deserve to have the kingdom, so I'm giving you this. He was being generous. Not really. So this way he was given Khandava Prastha. But because the Pandavas were very, very attached to the Supreme Lord Krishna. They were devotees of Krishna. Krishna felt a lot of love for, especially towards Arjuna, but towards all Pandavas. They were cousins, his Kundis. Kunti was sister of Vasudeva, so they were Kunti. They were cousins also. But he especially had good relationship with Arjuna, to whom he spoke the Bhagavad Gita. So, this way, the kingdom of this particular Marubhumi was converted into an idyllic place, which was called as Indraprastha. So, Khandava Prastha became Indraprastha, a glorious city. And Arjuna and Bhima, by their prowess, they added more and more, you know, kingdoms to that. And Yudhishthir now was really de facto Chakravarti Samrat. He had won everything, barring that tract Hastinapur, Duryodhan's kingdom. Everything was Yudhishthir Maharaj. So, there was a proposal from many people, elders, that Yudhishthira Maharaj should now perform Rajasuya Yajna. Now, it is not that Yudhishthira Maharaj was attached to, you know, any such glory of performing Rajasuya Yajna. He wanted to especially, you know, honor the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And in Rajasuya Yajna, he wanted to offer him Agra Puja. Agra Puja is the greatest honor that one can give in Rajasuya Yajna. And then he wanted to give that honor to Krishna and no other demigod, some of whom were invited to the Rajasuya Yajna. That went on. So he gave. So the Rajasuya Yajna was performed. And when Rajasuya Yajna was performed, it was so glorious. We can't go into all the details of many things that happened there. But Rajasuya Yajna was such a success that Duryodhan and company, you know, including, you know, his brothers and Karna, they became more and more envious. And if they were real Kshatriyas, they could have challenged the Pandavas to a fight. But they didn't do that. What did they do? They took Shakuni Mama's advice and invited Yudhishthira Maharaj for a game of dice, which Yudhishthira Maharaj as a Kshatriya could not refuse. So he accepted the invitation. And as we all know, we won't go into the details, Yudhishthira Maharaj was defeated squarely by Shakuni in the game of dice. He was a cheater. He cheated and he won. He won. And in that Asat Sabha, Asat Assembly, Draupadi, whom they had won, you know, in Swayamvara. So Draupadi was humiliated, no end. Of course, she was saved by Krishna. That's another matter, but she was humiliated. So when these events took place, Vidura had to be a silent spectator. He could not do anything to avert the things that the Dhritarashtra and his sons did. But he had to remain silent. So it went on like that. So Mahatma Vidur was kind of a helpless observer. He was deeply saddened by the development which the virtuous Pandavas had to face. So Vidura, every day of his life, he would criticize Dhritarashtra, his elder brother Dhritarashtra, and say that you have done this. You have not treated your brother's sons fairly. You have done this injustice to the Pandavas. Every day he would harp on that point. And he would tell Dhritarashtra and Duryodhan that you are like this, you are like this, you are like that. And just to make them aware. Now, when Dhritarashtra heard this criticism day in and day out, he could not take it. He told Vidura that every day, you know, you are criticizing us, condemning us, and you know, you are extolling the virtues of Pandavas. Why don't you go and stay with them in the forest? They have been sent to the forest. That was Ajnatavas, that third. They are in the forest, not Ajnatavas. They are in the forest. So why don't you go and stay with them? Vidura immediately took up the suggestion. He said, yes, I will go. He immediately left. Described in Mahabharata. He immediately left and he went. And the Pandavas were so happy to receive the saintly Vidura. They were very, very happy. And Vidura had a very nice time in the forest. But Dhritarashtra did not have a nice time. He so much depended on Vidura for everyday thing. He was desperate that Vidura should come back. So he kept on sending messenger after messenger. Vidura, please come back. I'm sorry for what I said and what I did. So please come back, please come back. And Vidura, a true Vaishnava, he was very compassionate. He forgave Dhritarashtra for what he did. And he actually went back and stayed with Dhritarashtra and in the Hastinapur palace. So it is described in the Mahabharata that it is not that Dhritarashtra was unaware of what he was doing. He was aware. He was aware of what he was doing, the wrong things he was doing. He was totally aware of all that. But at the same time, because of his awareness, it is not that he stopped doing what he was doing. So he was uneasy. And once he called, you know, Vidura and told him that I'm aware of things that are going on, but you know, I cannot stop it. So I'm very miserable. What should I do? So Vidura at that point in time, you know, he spoke to Dhritarashtra very, very beautifully. That dialogue between Vidura and Dhritarashtra is famous as Vidura Niti. Vidura Niti is one of the beautiful Niti Shastras, which is admired by everyone. All the, even Chanakya Niti and all other Nitis are later on, but the main thing is Vidura Niti. So in Vidura Niti, several beautiful things are described. I won't go into the details. We don't have so much time. But Vidura Niti talks about many things like charity, forgiveness, non-violence, you know, how to make a friend, and so many details, many, many details. So after the Vanvas got over, fast forward we are doing. So after the Vanvas got over, Krishna went as a Shantidut. He went as a Shantidut to Hastinapur. Because though he wanted Dharmakshetre, Kurukshetre, Samaveta, Yutsava, Mamaka, Pandavascheva, Kim Akurvata, Sanjaya. So though he wanted the war to take place, but he also wanted to avert the war if possible. So he went as Shantidut. So when he went as Shantidut, Duryodhana arranged, you know, lavish hospitality for him, royal residence and all that. But Krishna did not go. He did not accept that hospital because he knew that Duryodhana was vicious in his heart. He had envy in his heart. He didn't want to go. The Lord has nothing to do with envy, envious people. So he did not go there. So he went where? He went to Vidur's house. So we have that famous song. Duryodhana kha bhogana khayo. Jhuta saka Vidura ghar khayo. So he took the hospitality offered by Vidura's wife, Vidurani. But he did not go to Duryodhana. So Duryodhana felt very offended. He has rejected me and has gone there. So when actually in the assembly hall of Dhritarashtra, when Krishna went there to cut things short, Krishna said that these Pandavas, you know, you actually, the kingdom which was theirs, that you should return. But if you are, he said to Dhritarashtra, if you cannot return that kingdom, at least give them 5 villages. Because they are Kshatriyas, so they need some place to rule. So this was told to Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra remained silent. He had nothing to say. He couldn't say anything. And Duryodhana became, you know, violently vicious. He said that I will not give them even space which can rest on a needle point. Even that they will not get, I will not give. Very, very vicious. What is more, he tried to arrest the Supreme Lord Krishna. That was the most audacious thing that Duryodhana attempted. And when Vidura was very, very unhappy with what was happening, he was a devotee of Krishna, so he could not tolerate what was happening. So at that point in time, when he tried to arrest, Krishna showed his, you know, universal form and totally bewildered Duryodhana and others. It was not the same universal form which he showed to Arjuna on the battlefield, but it was sort of a shorter version of that. But such was his dazzling effulgence that everybody was blinded. So those who were devotees in the audience, like Bhishma Dev, Vidur and others, you know, they were... very happy to see the form, but Duryodhana and others, they got, you know, frightened by the form. And then Krishna just walked out. So that was one lila which was performed. So Vidurji, as a consequence of Duryodhana's atrocious behavior, Vidurji became very, very annoyed with him, extremely annoyed with him. He thought that this is the height of stupidity and Dhritarashtra has tolerated it. So he gave a piece of advice to Dhritarashtra. He said that you bind this Duryodhana, you know, with ropes, and hand him over to Krishna. Let Krishna do whatever he wants with him. So when this was said, Duryodhana, you know, you're boiling with rage. He boiled with rage. And then he insulted Vidura. How did he insult Vidura? He said that you, our uncle, whom we have respected from childhood, you have always been, you know, on the side of the Pandavas. And you always, you know, have condemned us, you have criticized us. Now, you are a traitor in the guise of a benefactor. You are no better than that. So, you just get out of the kingdom with just your breath, nothing else. So, Vidura was a detached personality, accepted that. Okay, this is what you want, I'll walk out. So, he walked out, he kept his bow and arrow at the entrance to the court. And he just left. He left and he dressed himself and as an avadhuta. Dressed himself as an avadhuta and lived the life of an avadhuta and traveled all over Bharatvarsha, went to all the sacred places very well. He would eat whatever came his way. Avadhutas are not selective. Whatever comes their way, they eat whatever came. And he lay on earth. He was in royal comfort, but he lived, you know, so some say 3 decades, you know, he did not come back to Hastinapur. He didn't come back to Hastinapur at all. That's how he lived. So 3 decades virtually he was moving here and there. And during those travels, he met the great Uddhava, the cousin of Sri Krishna. All this is described in Bhagavatam. Whatever I am telling you is nothing new to you. You already are familiar. Just reiterating what is there in Bhagavatam. So, happened to meet Uddhava. Uddhava, the great cousin and devotee of Sri Krishna. So, and Uddhava was with Sri Krishna when Krishna was on the verge of going back home to his abode. Was at that point in time. So he met him, Uddhava, and he also met Maitreya Rishi. So to cut things short, he requested Uddhava to give him spiritual instructions. Now, Uddhava deeply admired this personality, but he said that, you know, I'm too insignificant to, you know, give you instructions, you know. It will be like, and there is Maitreya Rishi, who was also with the Supreme Lord Krishna. And he can give you instructions, spiritual instructions. And you take instruction from him. This way, you know, Maryada Vatikram will not happen. So, Uddhava was much younger than Vidura. So, he did not want to be, he was capable, but he didn't want to be presumptuous and to give, you know, instruction. So, he entrusted Vidura to Maitreya Rishi. And in the 3rd and 4th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we read about extensive discussions that took place between Uddhava and, between Vidura and Maitreya Rishi. Very beautiful chapters, wherein the transcendental knowledge was given. So, after receiving all those instructions, he was already a spiritual person. He came on the height of, you know, perfection. He achieved there, received everything. And he was told by Vidura, by Uddhava, that Sri Krishna, before he departed, had remembered Vidura. So when this was told to Vidura, Vidura started crying, you know, tears of joy. The Supreme Lord remembered me before going. That was to him the crowning glory of his life, that the Krishna should remember. Our remembering Krishna is nothing, but if Krishna is to remember us, what a great thing it will be. That means we have to qualify to be that. It is just a thought, don't have to dwell on it too much. So, basically, it was, Uddhava told him that, so he was very happy. And now when he was in that happy state of mind, he remembered his elder brother, Dhritarashtra, whom he had left, you know, years ago. Now, through Uddhava, he came to know that the Mahabharata war was long over. Yudhishthira Maharaj has become Chakravarti Samrat. There are many episodes in that he has become a Chakravarti Samrat. And the Shri Krishna has gone back home, back to Godhead. The Yaduvamsha has totally been, has destroyed itself by fighting among themselves. So all these details were given to, he came to know. And now he thought that this is the time to go back to Hastinapur. And he came back to Hastinapur after almost, I think, 3 decades. I may be wrong here. He went 3 decades. He came back to Hastinapur and he met everybody there. So when Vidura went to Hastinapur, he was received by everyone, including Dhritarashtra, Gandhari, Kunti Devi, Yudhishthir, Bhim, Arjun, Nakul, Sahadev, Draupadi. Everyone, you know, received him with great joy and tears in their eyes. They said that you have come, they said to Vidura, you are a traveling Tirtha, you know. When you travel, you are a traveling Tirtha. So we are so honored to have you. So happy that you have come. So this way, they were their dearmost uncle. So lot of affection was there among them. So it went on very nicely. They were very, very happy. Discussions went on. And he was given lavish hospitality. But Vidura had not gone to Hastinapur to enjoy. He was a Virakta devotee. So he was not, but he did not want to sort of disappoint them. So whatever he could take, he took as an avadhut. He took everything, whatever he had to take, he took. And he spent his time there. And he gave joy to everyone. He took his time there. So, but particularly his attention was focused on Dhritarashtra. He had gone to Hastinapur not to enjoy the hospitality of Chakravarti Samrat Yudhishthir. He had gone to, you know, reform, just to reclaim Dhritarashtra, who had not yet lost his attachment to royal comforts. To cut things short, so Dhritarashtra was enjoying the royal facilities provided by Yudhishthir Maharaj. Yudhishthir Maharaj loved Dhritarashtra and Gandhari both. Because he thought that it was Yudhishthir Maharaj who had brought them from the forest when they became fatherless. It is he who had brought them. It is a different matter. He planned many wrong things, but he was still very grateful. So he treated them with great lavishness. So Dhritarashtra became very much attached to all the facilities that he was getting. And it was time to shake him up out of this. So Vidura, who was normally soft-spoken with everyone, he became hard, you know, hard, harsh, you can say hard or harsh with Dhritarashtra. He said, don't you have an iota of shame in you? The very people whom you tried to kill, you are enjoying their hospitality? What kind of a person are you? And besides, he said that now you have become old, your hair have become silvery, your teeth are falling, you are not, you know, even able to hear properly, your hearing is gone. So that famous verse of Shankaracharya, I am again tempted to quote, they say it is that palitam mundam dashana vihinam jatam tundam vruddho yati gruhitva dandam tadapina munchati asha pindam. So you have gone through all these things, but still you are attached. Now, he says, you are accepting the, what is that, chapati is thrown, you know, by Bhima. So that, but all these, you know, this rebuking by Vidura, this time Dhritarashtra heard it with great attention and with gratitude he heard him. And then Vidura told Dhritarashtra that, now is the time for you to relinquish everything. Give up. Quit your home. That's the title of the chapter. Quit your home. In other words, you quit your body also. Body is a home. So you quit. You just leave this palace right now. Don't have to tell anyone. Not even to your favorite secretary Sanjaya. Just quit. And this time, Dhritarashtra followed the instructions of Vidura to a T, followed every instruction, and he just left. So, they just left in the night. Gandhari also left with him, and Vidura, of course, left. All three of them left. And next morning, Yudhishthira Maharaj panicked, seeing that his blind uncle and aunt, they are not there. He really panicked, and he said that this is something which unanticipated things have happened. So he was miserable. He started crying. As usual, he blamed himself. He said that maybe I have done something wrong, which he had not. So as he blamed himself for the Mahabharata war also, which he had not engineered. So he blamed himself, became very miserable. He asked Sanjaya, do you know where my uncle and aunt are there? He said that I don't know. These people have cheated me also. I also don't know where they have gone. This was miserable. So Yudhishthira was in an agonizing mood. And just then, who arrives? Devarshi Narad arrives. And this verse which we read today is spoken by Devarshi Narad. Maybe I should have said it in the beginning, but I am saying it now. So Devarshi Narad is the one who says, he is very happy that he says here, Vidura was astonished to see the marvelous departure of his brother Dhritarashtra as a liberated yogi. So Narada, Devarshi Narad came there, and he actually told Yudhishthira Maharaj that don't worry about your uncle and aunt, don't worry about Gandhari. They are in the safe hands of Mahatma Vidur. He will guide them properly. And he told them, don't even attempt to, you know, bring them back. Don't attempt to bring them back. Let them be. Let them be where they are. They are on a higher, they are on the quest of a higher goal of life. So Dhritarashtra was living in a hut, and Narada Muni predicted that from this day, 5 days hence, Dhritarashtra will invoke, you know, yogic fire from his body. He will be burnt along with the kutir in which he is living. He will be burnt. And he also predicted that Gandhari will enter into that fire. So both of them will be destroyed in that fire. So don't try and rescue them. Just leave them alone. Because they are on a higher, they are trying to achieve something higher in life. So Yudhishthira Maharaj agreed, and he didn't do anything about it. And that is how Durvasa Muni, Dhritarashtra completely, you know, surrendered himself to the higher principle. He surrendered himself. He did Ashtanga Yoga, and on the fifth day, by his yogi power, he invoked fire, and his whole body, you know, caught fire, and the hut in which he was living, that also caught fire. Gandhari was watching the thing from outside. She saw the fire. She also entered the fire. So both of them were burned to death. So that was the end of, that is quitting home. You know, they quit his body, quit home. So that both of them died. And Vidura saw all this happening. Now, that's why it is mentioned here that Vidura was astonished with delight. Astonished with delight and grief. Delight because at long last his brother, Dhritarashtra, had withdrawn from attachment to material things in life. He had withdrawn from that and had accepted a path which Vidura also knew that he has liberated himself from the cycle of death and birth and death, but he had a tinge of unhappiness in his heart also. Why was that? Because he felt that though, you know, he has liberated himself, he felt that I was not able to give him the highest perfection. Highest perfection is to be the servant of the lotus feet of Supreme Lord Krishna. I was not able to initiate him into bhakti, pure devotional service. That was a tinge of regret in Vidur's life. But at the same time, he was very, very happy that, you know, his brother had perfected his life and got himself liberated. So this is the crux of the purport that we have read today. So Vidura really helped Dhritarashtra to come out of his material attachment. Now we find that in the present world in which we are living, material world in which we are living, there are thousands and millions of Dhritarashtras. And fortunately for us, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, through the medium of ISKCON, International Society of Krishna Consciousness, has created also thousands and millions of Viduras, pure devotees of the Lord. He has created so many of them. And they are helping us to come out of this material attachments as was done. So, coming back to what His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj has written in Journey Home. So he writes in Journey Home when he comes. To him, you know, the land of Bharata, Bhumi, was his home, homeland, home country. To him, Bharata, Bhumi was home. And what did he not pass through when he hitchhiked from England to the border of Indo-Pakistan? No, he came to the, what did he not go through? Went through so many travels. You have to read Journey Home to understand what all things he went through. Strongly recommend that you read that book. So he went through so much, so many ordeals he went through. And at last, when he comes to the border with his passport, the officer in charge of the, at the border, that lady officer, she was doing her duty, but she acted very tough and rough with Radhanath Maharaj. She asked for his passport. Maharaj produced the passport. Then she asked, you know, how much money do you have? You please deposit at least $200. Then only you will be granted entrance. No. Otherwise you cannot enter. Radhanath Maharaj pleaded with her. You read the book. I can quote from it also, but Radhanath Maharaj pleads with her. Says that I only have a few cents with me. What to speak of dollars? No question of dollars. I don't have any dollars, nothing. And he says that, you know, I have hitchhiked my way from England. You know, I have come here to your country. So I want to, you know, learn from the sadhus and saints of your country about the absolute truth. I want to learn that. The words may be different what I am saying, but I want to pick up that. So please allow me, please allow me entrance. So that lady said, nothing doing. You produce $200 or you just get out, go back to your country. Radhanath Maharaj was on the, at that time, you know, Richard Slavin. I'm calling him Radhanath Maharaj, but actually it is Richard Slavin. He was on totally verge of tears. He said, he was pleading with her again and again, please, I want to come to India. I want to learn the spirituality. But not, she was very tough, as they say, tough nut to crack. Perhaps she was doing her duty. I don't want to be critical, but she was a tough nut to crack. So tried again and again, and it was almost, you know, evening descended. It was dark. So desperately, at that point in time, this was going on, Krishna played his part. That it was a shift duty, you know, watching border duty was shift duty. So that lady officer's duty got over. She left in a lorry or truck or whatever it is, and she was relieved by an elderly person, you know. Sardarji, actually, Sikh person. You have to be eternally grateful to the Sikh community for this particular deed that was done. So it was an elderly personality, he came there. So as soon as he came, that lady officer pointed to Radhanath Maharaj, Richard Slavin at that time, said, don't stamp his passport. He has no money with him. So this instruction she gave to that person, she left. So then after some time, when that man had settled down, Radhanath Maharaj very humbly approached that gentleman, new officer on duty. He said that, please allow me entrance into your great country, India. Allow me entrance into great country. So that those are the words. So at that time that officer became little stiff, you know, became little tough also, following in the footsteps of the previous officer. He said that, you give me a passport, the passport is okay, you produce sufficient money for you, you know, to get into India, then I will sign. So at that time, Radhanath Maharaj, virtually he had tears in his eyes, he cried, and I'll read what he said, because I don't want to. I hope I can retrieve it. Maharaj writes in Journey Home, tears sprang from my eyes as I explained my life and my spiritual aspirations. I have left behind the comforts of America to search for India's spiritual treasures. Risking my life, I have hitchhiked all the way from London to your homeland. So India is his homeland. I yearn to find a way to God. Please be kind to me. Someday, I promise to do something good for the people of India. These are his words. Honestly, sir, I will help your people. Please give me the chance. Give me a chance. So these are the words which conveyed. And it is described in the book, you can read for yourself, described in the book that that elderly gentleman, he had tears in his eyes when he saw the agony of Radhanath Maharaj. His agony to be in India, his home. He saw that agony in his eyes and he started, you know, shedding tears. He said, give me your passport. Sometimes, you know, we have to follow the heart, not the rules. Rules say that unless you have, you know, $200, you are not allowed entrance. But give me your passport. So he took the passport from Radhanath Maharaj, stamped it, and gave it back to him. And he said that, take this, you have my blessings, son. You are my son, take my blessings, you are welcome to India. And that's how the book that Radhanath Maharaj came to India, and then he met various personalities. That is history. That history you can read from the book itself. Wonderful book to read too. So many personalities he met, so many lessons he learned. It makes a wonderful reading. We see, you know, so many movies and we see so many dramas which have so many sensational things, but that book is fabulous. You get everything there. So, this is what I wanted to convey to all of you through this class. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Gurudev ki jai, Kaut Premanandi. I think I'm on time.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.